burnt toast. There was a certain order to Mother's weekly culinary activity. Monday night was chicken fried steak, Tuesday spaghetti and meatballs. The pungent smell of liver and onions with fried okra signaled hump day. Thursday night held the promise of meatloaf casserole, and every Friday harkened the presentation of frozen fish sticks served right off the hot as hell baking sheet. Saturday mornings were all about waking up to the smell of pinto beans simmering on the stove. That funky bean smell made its way down the hall to our bedrooms like a freight train reeling off the tracks, pushed by the deafening shake, rattle, and roll of an old pressure cooker on the stove. Following the farm cooking ways of her mother and grandmother, our dear citified mother served up her beans with raw onion, vine-ripe tomatoes, and skillet cornbread. My well-traveled, seemingly erudite father found mother's simplistic gastronomic predictability entirely unsatisfying. "Honey, why don't you try some of those recipes I brought back from New York 2 years ago? Mix it up a little, why don't you?" My younger sister and I longed for the weekend when Daddy owned the kitchen. Saturday night brought Texas-sized ribeye steaks, first tenderized by Dad's skillful fork-poking technique, rubbed with salt and pepper, marinated throughout the day in wishbone Italian dressing. All four of us, two regular-sized adults and two small girl children, each consumed a 12-ounce steak. That's almost 50 ounces of steak, y'all. Sunday mornings, Dad served up fancy goldenrod eggs, followed by an after-church pot roast, and for dinner, waffles, swimming in butter and Brer Rabbit blackstrap molasses. Then it was back to school weeks, the school week's culinary routine and our working mother's best effort at doing it all in 1950s suburban Dallas, Texas. The sound of her knocking around in the kitchen was the alarm clock that pulled our sleepy heads out of bed. We stumbled to the kitchen table waiting for the burnt plate daily special, Ina's cinnamon toast. Each morning on cue, we yelled in unison, "Mom, you did it again! It's burning!" Followed by her cheerful, ever-resilient recovery, "That's okay, girls. We can fix it." And she did every time by scraping the burn into the kitchen sink, black ashes flying everywhere. The next act opened with a song and dance number to accompany her presentation of the salvaged toast. Still at 60, "I cannot eat cinnamon toast without breaking into Annie, get your guns. I've got the sun in the morning and the moon at night." Or Oklahoma's, "Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet." When during this daily routine of mother dancing the resurrected miracle toast from the sink to our mouths, we forgot the burn. We learned how to rise above the burn, just as she had battled gnawing hunger with routine, repetition, entertaining, distraction, and yes, a good dose of daily denial during the Great Depression and in 1950s Dallas, while unknowingly having married a gay man with exquisite tastes.